Hello, you peoples.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
You peoples.
You people.
Yeah.
You know, all of you peoples.
Man, I should have got some tea to drink.
Why don't you get some tea? You can still get tea.
Hold on one sec.
He's got to go get tea.
Actually, I got some already made sitting next to the bed. Hold
on. Hurry up. Damn, so unprofessional. Just kidding. But yeah, so it's a kind of a gloomy Tuesday, although I like that weather. He was like complaining about it. He's like, "No, it's sunny. I can't even go sit by the pool." But you know, I like it when it's rainy. I don't give a shit. So yeah, we went out last night to Memento Mori. So for a little sleepy, that's probably why. We had a good time though. Not a hell of a lot of people there. It was a little bit dead, but you know, what are you gonna do? Yeah. So Tom has been very excited to finally get to talk about The Mummy, because as I said, I hadn't seen it. But I had heard, you know, I knew a little bit about what was going on with Universal and the Dark Universe and everything like that. And I knew that that movie kind of squandered their plans for that. So I had heard it wasn't good. Like I said, the trailer, you know, but I was kind of like, okay, yeah, I can see where that's going to go. But I don't know. For some reason, like randomly, Tom was like, I think I want to watch it. Like just a couple nights ago. And I was just like, yeah, why not? So we didn't have anything else to do. So we watched it and then we were talking about it. And it's interesting because, there you are. You didn't take that long. I was talking about how rainy it was and then I was just starting to talk about The Mummy. But, you know.
This tea is so good.
What kind is it?
It's a ginger
tea. Is it ginger?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll get some in a little bit. Yeah. I just got water.
Yeah. Okay. So what were we saying?
Oh, I was just talking about how, I guess our opinions are kind of divided on this one.
Yeah, I've been saying this movie was grim. I have to disagree. I like this movie. I just did.
I didn't hate it, but it had a lot of problems. You know what I mean? When I saw the trailer for it, like back in 2017 when it came out, I was like, yeah, I see how that's going to go. I see what direction they're going with that. And it was exactly what I expected.
It's just a big, dumb action movie.
It was essentially like a Mission Impossible movie or like the Ethan Hunt movies or whatever with Tom Cruise in them, just with a mummy sometimes.
Yeah, it was kind of like a bunch of, you know, had a bunch of different stars in it. It had some good characters. There were some good ideas in it. You could tell they were trying to make an extended universe of a bunch of movies. Kind of reminded me of, like, in some ways, it kind of reminded me of, like, the Underworld movies, or maybe, like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, kind of like that.
Yeah, it reminded me of that pretty strongly.
The tone was kind of like a modernized, big action tentpole flick. Kind of inspired by Indiana Jones. It had a lot of fucking Indiana Jones feel too.
But see, they already did mummy movies like that with Brendan Fraser back in the late 90s. And those were super fun.
They didn't care.
Because that's what those were. Those were kind of like, hey, fun Indiana Jones movies, like for the late 90s. And they were super funny. And like they had some super, like the first one was really good. I think the second one was okay too. But I think they started like getting shitty after that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like I really enjoyed those, and I kind of feel like they were trying to do that with this, but then they were also trying to have a serious tone, and then they were also trying to do like a Marvel Cinematic Universe thing and make it like a Tom Cruise action movie, and it just wasn't working for me. It just wasn't working. It seemed like it wanted to be, well, I should note that this movie, and if you've seen it, this will not shock you, had five or six different screenwriters on it. And you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell.
Because it's kind of a mess. It's kind of going in a bunch of different directions. Not sure what tone it wants to be. Not sure what type of movie it wants to be. There's like some cool ideas in there. The visuals are cool. The mummy looks cool as shit. Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
There needed to be more mummy for one thing. And there needed to be more Egypt for another thing.
Yeah, I guess that'd be hard to do. There's a couple problems with it that I noticed. First off, the military, they showed the U.S. Army and the uniforms were just all wrong. The terminology that they used was all wrong. The equipment that they had was just pretty wrong.
And Tom Cruise was supposed to be an army sergeant or something like that. Yeah. And he's basically out in the desert, like, looting antiquities.
Yeah, that was weird, too. He's supposed to be an army sergeant. Was he an ex-army sergeant? Or
no, I think they were implying that he was still in, or he was some kind of special ops mission. Or so they didn't really make that real clear. It
didn't really make much sense.
Why didn't they just make him an archaeologist or something?
I don't know.
Problem solved.
Who was his commander, and why didn't he have to report back to his unit when all this was done? I was not taking the movie seriously at all. I was just watching it. You know, I'm just watching it and just enjoying the crazy spectacle of what they were fucking doing. That was one of the problems. So the portrayal of the U.S. Army was totally inaccurate, just all the way down to just the equipment and just how they do things and the uniforms. It was all wrong. The other thing that I didn't like about it is that when that one scene when the mummy chick makes the big wave of sand go through the city, you see like her face in it.
And they did that already in the other mummy movies.
Yeah.
In the Brandon Fraser ones. It was cool in the 90s.
And I could tell that they did that just so they could put that in the damn trailer.
Yeah, of course.
That scene was kind of ruined by the face being in the sand. It would have been better if it was just the sand. It would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
So they kind of went over the top every now and then. The Egyptian mummy chick, she was hot, man. I liked her.
I really liked the look of her. I thought that was really a cool character.
Really, real goth kind of look, you know, real pale with like magical inscriptions in her. And sometimes she was more rotten. She started off real rotten, but she got more and more kind of human looking as she drank people's souls. She could do some pretty cool shit. She had a whole backstory. Russell Crowe appears and he turns out to be, he's fucking Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah.
And he's controlling Mr. Hyde with this drug that he takes to keep it down. And he has a secret room that he can go to that won't let him out, if you know what I mean. It's not a secret room, but it's just kind of like a tricked out headquarters that he has. So if he starts going Mr. Hyde, it won't let him out the room. And they showed him go Hyde. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fucking awesome. I wanted more Mr. Hyde.
I kind of feel like, and I was watching a bunch of other videos about this morning, and this one guy, I can't remember what his name is, but he has a channel where he kind of was breaking down, you know, what went wrong with the movie. And he was like, you know, if they wanted, he's like, actually, because the Dark Universe is a great idea. And I actually would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah.
But just the way they went about it was kind of fucked up. He said, you know, if you're going to make, you know, Dr. Jekyll kind of the head of this underground society, like the Talamasca or whatever, that's like fighting the monsters and fighting evil, why didn't they open with his movie?
Yeah.
It's like, because then you could have a sympathetic character that you could relate to. And then later, because he's kind of like the Nick Fury type of character.
Right.
And it's like, and then you could have expanded out, because it's like that. It just seemed like, because what he was getting into.
Too much in one movie.
Yeah. What he was getting into was that it's not, you know, the mummy movies, as much as I love the mummy movies and I love like the old Boris Karloff ones and stuff, but that it doesn't have like a specific character. He's not like specific, like Dracula or Frankenstein's monster or anything like that. He's not a specific character, you know, the mummy, because they changed him even like back in the 30s and 40s. They had, you know, there was Imhotep, and then there was like the other one that was Karis or whatever he was called. And they had like mummy princesses and stuff. So there's not like a specific character that you can latch onto in the mummy. So it seems like with ones like Mummy, they should have probably done that later on in the franchise. I thought it would have been a better idea to start with like a Jekyll and Hyde movie. Yeah. And then kind of like go out from there, because he was supposed to be the central.
Right. Now, I think it's Badger. Badger's saying that the Jekyll and Hyde didn't work for him. Well, the reason why it didn't work is there wasn't very much of it. And you didn't really get to see what Mr. Hyde was all about. He did, when he appeared, I liked him. And I liked the slow transformation into him over a few sentences. And he would say shit that I was like, yeah, I started agreeing with him. Yeah, that's right. I know that feeling. That's it. That's right. You know,
Tom was relating.
Don't let him get away with that shit. Yeah, that's right. And now somebody else asked, You know, I thought all of Tom Cruise's movies were inspired by his journey to Scientology. Yeah. Actually, no. No, they're not.
It might as well have been.
Yeah, but no, they're usually not. The only one that kind of was fucking Scientology inspired was fucking Battlefield Earth. And that was called Battlefield Earth?
Yeah.
I've seen it twice.
Well, Tom Cruise is in it.
Yeah, yeah. John
I couldn't sit through it.
I saw it twice. I liked it.
It wasn't even so bad that it was entertaining. It's like, it was kind of funny at the beginning because in a what the fuck am I watching kind of way, but then I started like dozing off. You know what I'm saying?
I kind of liked it, man. It had some good elements to it. Yeah, they fucked that movie up. It's entertaining to watch, though. I thought it was because I know the story behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is L. Ron Hubbard. You know, or inspired by L. Ron Hubbard's work. And then we're talking about Battlefield Earth now. I got to stop it. But, you know.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
I don't know.
He's like yelling at me like I did it.
it's just obvious to me when you're watching Battlefield Earth that the main character in the story, the savage guy who gets brainwashed by the damn alien computer, it's obvious that they chose that actor because he looks just like David Miscavige.
Yeah.
That dude looks just like David Miscavige.
He did, yeah.
So that's who that's supposed to be.
Yeah, fourth throwdown was that Russell Crowe just playing himself. That's what I said. I was like, he's going to throw a bone at you. He's going to throw a bone at you. I kept saying. Throw a bone. Yeah. That was the Don said.
Say, Russ, you still throwing that bone? Throw that fucking
phone. He's never, ever going to. He did it like one time, and he's never, ever going to live that down.
They were bad. I understand it. Throw a fucking phone.
Fucking phone. God damn it. I've probably thrown a phone or, you know, a book or something like that in my life.
Yeah.
I'm not known as that book throwing motherfucker.
Yeah.
But, poor Russell Crowe. Well, he's famous. That's why.
He can throw a book, though. He can throw a phone. You know, it's all right.
He should branch out. He could throw other things.
Yeah, he could throw a phone.
But I don't know why I just even remember that. But, so.
He played Noah. He can throw a phone. Played a Noah and knocked it out the park. I love that movie.
I really liked that movie, too. Yeah. It was super weird. I like all of Darren Aronofsky's movies. But, so some people have been bringing up Dracula Untold, which, it's weird because I feel like I said, the Dark Universe was such a fucking great idea. It was a great idea. But I feel like if they were going to do it, they shouldn't have tried to do it like, let's do it like Marvel. Like, these are, like, all superheroes. They should have gone in a more horror direction, I think.
I think they were trying to, but...
But this was not a horror movie. There was nothing scary in it, really. Well, it's just kind of like... It was trying to be, like, an adventure action movie.
Well, think about what you're asking, though. A real horror movie is going to be R-rated. All right.
Yeah, and that's a bummer.
They're not going to allow that because that would mean that you could not have the widespread appeal that of the Marvel movies. And what they wanted was to do what the Marvel universe did.
Yeah.
So you're always going to be dealing with something kind of like Underworld or League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Which I was not a fan of the Underworld movies. I wasn't a fan of Van Helsing either.
Yeah.
I generally don't like those kind of horror action hybrids. It seemed like a lot of them started coming out in the 90s. You know what I mean? Like everything's dark and like all these monsters and they have like kind of superhero powers and everybody's got like these slick, cool Matrix outfits on and stuff. And I was just kind of like, I don't know. They all just seem kind of samey. And this one kind of gave me that same sort of vibe, but not also... Okay, so they did Dracula Untold in 2014, and I guess
that one
I did too. Yeah. A lot of people liked that one. Yeah. They were saying in the comments that was actually much better than I was expecting.
Yeah,
and
I showed that to Saad. He's like, I showed, you know, he's in Saudi. I showed that the trailer to Saad, and he's like, meh, it doesn't look that good. But I was looking at that trailer, and it didn't look that good from trailer either.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yeah, that's not the way that movie really played out to me. I didn't remember it that way. You know what I mean? In the trailer, they make it look like the movie that it isn't, you know.
Yeah,
which I liked it.
Like I said, like I said, it was a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah,
and they also did one in 2014 called I, Frankenstein, which I haven't seen. I think James McAvoy is in it, and so I feel like they were kind of trying to launch the shit with that, but they didn't do as well. So there's like, okay, well, never mind. You know, we're going to do The Mummy instead, which I think they were working on back in 2012. And a couple people have mentioned in the comments, and I really wanted to mention this, was that Tom Cruise got all up in this motherfucker. He got final cut, like, and final, like, say on all the scripture rights he got. Final. So it was essentially, they kind of let him run wild with it.
So cruising the shit out of this.
Yeah, and the thing about it was that there was supposed to be more mummy in the movie. I wanted more mummy in the movie. Yeah. He was rad, but he didn't want more mummy in the movie. He wanted more me being an action star in the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, not good, because...
So, like, his ego was kind of getting in the way of the shit.
The mummy was pretty hot.
There should have been way more mummy.
Yeah, this movie also has a lot of fucking Tomb Raider in it. It has a lot of, in some ways, this sounds kind of weird, but fucking Queen of the Damned.
Yeah, it reminded me of Queen of the Damned.
Yeah, it kind of reminded
and
me of Queen
of the Damned. And it's straight up, better, though, in one of its little subplots, it straight up ripped off American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like trying to make it out. Because why did his friend, like his annoying like comedic sidekick, like, the dude gets killed, and then he keeps coming back, like, as a like a rotting ghost that only Tom Cruise can see, right? Yeah. And I'm like, that's exactly like American Werewolf in London. And I didn't... Okay, so that's another thing. One, this movie seemed like it was five movies in one thing, which, you know, it was kind of... Like I said, it's watchable.
There's an hour of movie missing.
Yeah, it just seems like they're trying to do too many things. They're trying to set up the universe without concentrating on making a good mummy movie. You know what I mean? So it's kind of all over the place. And I kind of feel like another thing, too, is that Pookie trying to get in?
No.
Oh, I thought somebody was banging on the door. Mm-mm. But because Pookie sometimes is like, hey, let me in. Mm. But where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So I don't know. I just feel like there was just too much shit going on. And also, I wasn't real clear... This is going to be a weird thing to say, because there's like a shit ton of exposition in this. Like, there's just exposition dumps all over the place. You know, like everyone's backstories, like the mummy's backstory and everything. But that said, I still didn't know what the fuck her deal was, like what her powers were, because some people, she killed them and drained them, and then they kind of came back as zombies, right? Mm-hmm. But then the one dude, like the annoying comedic sidekick, got killed, but then he kind of came back as a ghost or something, and then was trying to like help. And then she was trying to kill Tom Cruise so she could bring Set, the god of death, back through him.
Yeah.
But so she was going to stab him with the dagger thing with the stone in it, but then he did it to himself anyway.
Yeah.
But that's what she was going to do anyway. So I was like, so he's like, haha, I win. I'm like, but that's what she was supposed to do anyway.
Yeah, but it evidently fucked up. It fucked up the ritual somehow.
I guess.
This is the part that I did like about the movie. Is that it did have the balls in the very end to make Tom Cruise a monster.
Although, because
Set did come through him, but I don't think it went through him totally. He could control it.
But the thing about that, too, is that so essentially now he's not the mummy. He's Set, the god of death, and he's also another Jekyll and Hyde character.
Well, you're reading into it too much. You're reading into it too much.
Okay. He always says that.
You're trying to analyze it too much. That's not how a person with 100 IQ sees the fucking movie. All right? They're just... And most of these people that are watching this are... between 70 and fucking 110, 120 IQ.
Well, even
they're not overanalyzing.
Even they
shit.
Didn't like the movie. So,
well, that's because you got a geek culture now where the smarter ones will sit and analyze the story, and then they post their analysis up online, and then it kind of sours it for all the dumb people. The dumb people wouldn't have noticed that, but when you point it out, then they do. Then they go, "Oh yeah, it sucks." So that costs Hollywood a lot of money. Because Hollywood was, from day one, engineered to entertain dumb people. This goes back to the 1920s. They were said that. You know, these people are dumb, they'll watch anything. They didn't have TV, so the theater was TV. And internet changed a lot of businesses forever. There's no way to reverse it. Because the consumer awareness of things is a lot greater than it was back then. And the people that run these studios, the people that come up with these stories, they're not highly intelligent. They're trying to make something on a template and in an industry that's very old and antiquated. It's old people making all the money. Right now, a lot of them are in their 70s. They don't know what the fuck the people want. They don't understand anything. They can't even, they don't even really understand what Twitter is as a platform. That's who you're dealing with. So you got a bunch of younger people who are supposedly the creative types trying to navigate through a highly fucking toxic nest of vipers that backstab each other for fucking jobs. They're trying to work together to get this shit made. They know it's a piece of shit, but they can't say anything. They're just trying to get their paycheck. And that's what Hollywood insiders have been telling people, you know, as of late, you know, on YouTube when they appear as guests. That's what they're actually saying. So there isn't fucking any artistic craftsmanship in any of this. This is especially the bigger the movie. The bigger the movie is, the less artistic craftsmanship.
Well, because the more people are involved in it, the more people's visions and it's conflicting visions. But the thing about it is that when they decided to scrap the Dark Universe, which, like I said, was kind of a bummer because I liked the concept. I liked that idea. And then they decided, well, we're just going to do kind of standalone movies. And then they did Invisible Man, which was fucking great. Because they modernized it, but they didn't do it like in a cheesy, like, hey, it's a big action movie kind of way. They made it more like a psychological thriller, which I thought was really cool. I don't know. It bums me out because they were going to make a Bride of Frankenstein movie after this one. That was supposed to come out in 2019. And then they were going to do a Creature from the Black Lagoon movie, which, again, would have been cool. But I feel like the tone, they were just trying to go to Marvel. They were trying to go to action movie with it. And I just wish they had gone more horror with it. Another thing, too, and I saw somebody make this criticism about The Mummy. And I was like, yeah, maybe that's what it was. It's like that The Mummy, what was her name? Amunet.
Yeah.
That she seemed more like an alien than an ancient mummy. You know what I'm saying? It was almost kind of more like a Stargate kind of vibe.
Yeah, well, but
I think it would have been cooler if they'd have gone more like old Egypt. And that there's another thing, too. It's like it wasn't even set in Egypt. It was set in Iraq and then it was set in England.
Yeah.
And then there was like Crusader Knights involved in the whole situation. Yeah. It was too complicated. They needed to simplify the story. There was too much shit going on.
Yeah. Well, it looks like there should have been maybe two or three movies in this movie. They were just kind of mashed together.
It seemed like they just kind of wanted to throw everything in there.
Right. I think that was part of the problem. But like I said, it was something that was made by a committee.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And it was something that was mashed together with a bunch of spectacle and a bunch of fucking kind of bluster. You know what I mean? Like, you notice that the edit was very... It had a tempo to it, and it was trying to go along the same pattern of, say, like Indiana Jones in certain parts, and then it would go along the same patterns of a fucking Marvel movie, you know. Which, actually, you guys, you know, I've said this before, I pretty much hate Marvel movies. I just don't like them. I can sit there and watch them and be entertained, and as soon as the movie's over, I couldn't tell you what I just saw. Couldn't tell you what happened.
Yeah, it's like I enjoy them when I watch them, but they're not... Well, because like I said, big spectacle movies are not really my thing, superhero movies. So, like, I'll watch them, like I said, some they're enjoyable.
Like riding a roller coaster or something.
Yeah, I'm more a horror movie type. I like horror movies. So like I said, I kind of wish they had gone more in an old school. And the thing about this whole, like, Monster Mash, you know, we're putting all the monsters in a shared universe, I was going to say, well, there was already a series that did that, and it was called Penny Dreadful. So it's like, we don't need to do that again.
But you can redo things and top other things. You know, they don't look at it that way because everything that they're doing today was something that was done over and over again over a period of about 100 years. This started in the 20s.
Yeah.
Everything was done. They did everything.
Yeah.
They were running out of shit by the time the 40s was rolling around. Fucking Hollywood is recycling old shit.
Well, and the crazy thing about
it, do it over and over again.
And James Rolfe from Cinemassacre was pointing this out because he's a huge fan of the old Universal Monster movies from the 20s and 30s. And he pointed out, he's like, you know, Marvel, if anything, is ripping off those universe, like from the shared universe, because that's what they used to be, the Universal Monsters. There was all kind of like... They showed up in each other's movies. There was monster mashes. Yeah. There was all kind of different shit. So it's almost kind of like Marvel got the idea from that. And now Universal is trying to do it again, which, like I said, is a cool idea. I just think they didn't go about it the right way.
I thought the look was good. Some people were saying, well, it's a problem when the mummy's hot. No,
I really liked the look of the mummy. She looked kick ass.
I liked that character. Would have liked more of it. It was kind of like something out of Queen of the Damned. She was started off looking like just a damn corpse. She was like a vampire too, and like a sorcerer. She kind of so it was.
It That's
was
what I mean. It was just she could do all kind of things. Yeah. I didn't really know what her powers
were. She could do a bunch of shit. She was kind of like a what were those things called from Blood Vessel?
The Strigoi.
A Strigoi. So yeah. She was kind of like a Strigoi. She could do a bunch of cool shit. And the more people she drank, the I guess you could say the more complete she became. Where she started to look like she was alive, but she did look supernatural. You know, she kind of had kind of a weird bluish tint, and she had more than one pupils in each eye.
Yeah.
She had all this inscription tattoos all over. She never did look totally living, though.
Yeah.
She was a good-looking actress.
Yeah, she was in one of the Kingsman movies. I think that's why they cast her for this, because she did like a really physical.
Yeah, she was doing a lot.
And I think she was in one of the She was in one of the Star Trek movies or one of the Star Trek series, like one of the new ones, I think.
Okay. And then, but she, you know, I
think she's Algerian. Actually,
I thought it was a good character. She looked like Nefertiti.
Yeah.
You know, but with like dreads, the long braids. Remember, she had braided hair, which you see that on some mummies. So, you know, it was just, I thought it was cool.
Yeah, the look of her was cool. Yeah. I thought the movie could have been really good if they, one, would have simplified it. Don't try to, you know, establish an entire cinematic universe in one fucking movie that's less than 2 hours long. You know what I mean? You're just asking for trouble. Make it more horror-based. Tell Tom Cruise to shut up. He can be in the movie, but just chill out. And I didn't like, I don't know. It's almost kind of like, I like that they sort of made his character a dick, who kind of grows in the end. And there were actually a couple of funny lines in it that made me laugh, but a lot of the humor just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, the humor wasn't that good.
The humor wasn't that good. It was just kind of like,
kind of generic humor, not to offend anybody that you'd put in a big old fucking tentpole movie.
I just wanted it to
Tom
be...
Tom is not funny.
I wanted it to be scary.
Yeah.
Now, two times in the movie, I did laugh out loud. The one time was when what's-her-face, that character, that his love interest that needed more screen time, because she didn't even need to be in the movie, really, because she didn't have anything to do.
Right.
But, which was kind of sad. But when she was saying, well, I know that you're a good person in there somewhere because you gave me the last parachute when the plane was crashing without thinking about it. And then he just looks at her and goes, I thought there was another one. Yeah, you know what I mean? Okay, so that was funny. So that was the only time that he made me laugh. Yeah. The other time was when Tom Cruise thinks he's going to go hit the mummy with like this bat or a stick or something like that. And she just picks it up and fucking flings him like way up in the air. And then like he falls. So I liked Tom Cruise getting his ass kicked in the movie. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah. He gets his ass kicked by a girl.
You know, that was funny. Yeah, that's funny. But he had one line that made me laugh, like the part about the parachute.
Yeah.
And I will say, I did like that sequence where they were in the plane and it was crashing and they're tumbling around. They did that for real. That was the Vomit Comet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's that plane where they do the parabolic whatever, to train astronauts or whatever. Yeah. So he made them do it for real. So they were all like puking on each other and whatnot.
What I thought, the part that I kind of liked was the idea that, first of all, that Dr. Jekyll was in charge of this fucking anti-monster army. All right. And when he finally does flip into Hyde, he thinks it's a good idea that the mummy... that the mummy brings Set into the world.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, let's do that. You know? let's bring Satan into the world.
You know? Yeah, good
one. He goes, well, he and I will be real good friends. And that was like a good twist. I was like, yeah, Hyde would want Satan to come into the world. He'd think that was fucking cool. And but I liked it, you know. Badger didn't think that fucking Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde worked. I thought it did work. I would like to see a whole movie with that.
Well, like, I think they, if it was me, if somebody wants to give me
started with a movie about him,
several
like
million dollars,
yeah.
You know, hey, I'm right here. I'll work cheap, honestly.
You have to do a fucking prequel.
I'll write a whole dark universe for you.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be 10 movies.
It'll never happen because...
I know, but I'm just saying.
The shitbags that have all the money right now, it's basically a cartel of fucking 100 dudes, and they're all going to be fighting over a piece of that goddamn pie. To give it to one person, they go, oh, no, we can't have that. We can't have that. You know, don't do that. We need, you know, get me in there somehow. So then you'd be on a committee of fucking 30 people, all of them saying exactly the opposite things.
Well, even if you did.
That's why their shit sucks.
One person did write it and it was awesome and it was all interconnected and stuff. By the time, you know, it went through all the hands.
Oh, it'd be fucked up.
And they'd be like, well, can we put this person in there? And can we put in this kind of thing? This is what all the kids are into these days. Let's put some of that in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what's funny is that the people that make these things have no business sense whatsoever. You know, not even basic sales. For every one customer you fucking piss off, you actually piss off 10, because that person turns around and fucking turns 10 other people off from you. You never want to fucking divide an audience. You never want to insult anybody. Everything has to be fucking positive. All right. Somebody in the comment section says, yeah, what really sucks, the reason why they're failing now is because people don't like them, because they know what they think of the audience. And yeah, they don't like you. They think you're fucking stupid. All right. Well, you got to be stupid. You work for peanuts. They don't work for peanuts. They work for fucking millions and millions of dollars. And they just see themselves as above you. They do. Especially in that town. And people that get kicked out of Hollywood will tell you how fucking rotten those people are. Fucking that one director said, what do you call them? The scum of the earth. What was that director? The director from the fucking Toxic Avenger?
That was Larry Cohen, I think.
Yeah. He says that they never pay you. They try to rip you off.
Well, it's funny. I was just reading, I think they just posted it yesterday. I was reading a big, long article on AV Club about Mystery Science Theater. And they had interviewed like all of the cast members, and they were talking about their experience of making Mystery Science Theater the movie back in 1996. And, you know, if you don't know anything about the show, they had been making the show in their own studio in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they had interest, like, to do a movie version of it. So they all had to go out to L.A. and they're like, we really were not used to having all of these people, like, interfering.
Yeah.
And then having to do, because when they were on Comedy Central and to Sci-Fi to a lesser degree, the TV execs left them on their own. They're just like, whatever, just, you know, send us a show. They didn't fuck with it. So they're like, so we weren't used to having to like tell them all the jokes, explain all the jokes to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes they were like, well, that joke's too obscure. No one's going to get it. Like, you know, take it out, make
something
else. They want
to tell you what your product's going to be.
Right. And then, so they were like really offended by that. You know what I mean? Cause they're like, we're comedians. We've been doing this for a really long time.
The show's
really successful.
We're funny and you're not funny.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. And there's like, and you're telling us like how to be funny. And it's just, you know, it was like a really disheartening experience for them.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie turned out great. I have to say, I really, really like Mystery Science Theater, the movie. Like, it's still hilarious, even though I know that they had to kind of generalize their jokes. And then the stupid thing is that they did this. They only gave them $2 million to make it. And then when it came out, the studio put all their money into barbed wire, that movie with Pamela Anderson.
That thing bombed.
And they were basically like, well, we don't have any money to market your movie. It opened in like 12 theaters or something. I didn't even see it in the theater. I had to wait till it came out on DVD.
What's funny with MST is that evidently they couldn't get back on Netflix. Netflix wouldn't buy it, probably because Netflix couldn't control it. Because probably that same thing. Oh, no, we want to control everything you do. Oh, no, it's got to be this. It's got to be that. It was like, fuck that. So they couldn't get on Netflix. So they just did a Kickstarter and they got a shit ton of money, enough to make at least a season.
Yeah, they're going to make a season. They want to do, what Joel wants to do is they're building something called the Gizmoplex, which is essentially going to be, I guess it's going to be almost kind of like their own streaming service where they're going to be able to have live events. They're going to show their
own
episodes.
You can just sell an app.
Yeah. So I think that's what they're trying to do. I think they're up to $4 million
now. $4 million. Yeah, and only in a few days. And you see, this is the shit that makes these executives fucking tremble. Because there are people out there making money that they want, that they needed, and making that money without them. You don't need them. You don't need them anymore.
Yeah, well,
which
like
that's
I said,
fucking
good.
And that really drives them fucking crazy. They're going to go down and go to fucking rent out an abandoned mall and put a damn studio in there to do Mystery Science Theater. And do the voice acting, and it doesn't cost them anything to do that, not compared to a big old studio. And they'll get to keep all the profits and have all the controls. You don't even need their platforms because they already have a fan base.
Yeah, obviously.
You got your own fan base, you don't need them. And that worries them because they, for 100 years, they've had their fucking hands and fingers in that pie. And fuck them, you know? They did it to themselves.
You know what's crazy about going back to The Mummy is that, so this is the movie that, you know, fucked up the whole Dark Universe. They said, yeah, okay, fuck it, we're not doing that anymore. Like I said, they are still doing, like, some standalone ones, like, because they did Invisible Man and stuff. But even though they went a different direction with it. But the fact that The Mummy made $410 million, but was still a failure, I think it cost $150 million to make, but then all the marketing costs and all that other kind of shit. So it ended up like the studio lost like 95 mil on it, even though it made $410 million. I think a lot of it was made overseas. It was actually pretty successful, like in Asia and stuff like that. I think in some other countries, maybe Korea and some parts of Europe, I think it was like the best performing Tom Cruise movie like ever. You know what I'm saying?
Pookie's trying to knock the door down.
Okay. Is she?
Come on in.
What's the matter, Pookie?
I'm not hiding anything from you. She's like, were you hiding something from me?
She's like, what do you
She's
guys...
She's scared to walk in.
Aw, Pookie. Yeah. It's okay, baby. Look at that little girl. She's such a sweet pea. But yeah, so the fact that it can make that much money and still be a failure. I don't know. I just really like... Like I said, I was watching a Cinemassacre about this earlier, like one of their Monster Madness shows from a couple years back.
No,
and
she's getting a clog.
Yeah, you might want to close that up. Well, I don't think she can open it. She's not strong enough. But he was saying, because like I said, you know, James Rolfe is kind of like, he's really into like old movies, and he really likes like the old Universal, like black and white movies. And he's like, if I had, you know, the money, he's like, I would love to see like a Universal monster movie. I want more movies in black and white like that. But modern, you know what I mean? But like still do them in the same style as though it was like continuing. And I was like, see, now I know that's not because he's like, the thing is, you can't make. He's like, these kind of movies have to be made kind of niche. You can't do them like a fucking Marvel universe. It just seems like it would be better like what they did with Invisible Man. Just like make it a cheaper movie. But you know what I mean? And don't try to like link them all up, maybe, you know.
I don't know.
I kind of like the idea of linking them all up, but I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know. It seems too convoluted.
Yeah. Here's another thing. I think a lot of the younger generations are kind of pre-programmed for this universe idea, but I don't think film is the future of that. It would be these series.
Well, like I said, they've done series like that because Penny Dreadful is kind of like that. You know, that has
the aesthetic
you know.
Qualities of Penny Dreadful in this movie, though, are very different.
It's a different thing.
Very, very different.
But like I said, I'm more into, you know, the Penny Dreadful type of thing than the, I don't know. It's like the movie, like The Mummy, it wasn't a bad movie. It just seemed very generic to me.
Yeah, exactly. The Badger's in there saying, you know, he lost all his fucking time watching this shit. He was crying about it when it was over. I don't look at it that way because I never took the movie to serious to begin with.
I don't know if he was talking about this movie or maybe he was talking about another one.
This particular movie, I was expecting like a total dumpster fire because that's what I'd heard about it. So I had, my expectations were very low. So I just watched it and just fucking rode it like a roller coaster. It didn't have a whole lot of content. It was just something to watch. And I think that's, and those kind of movies traditionally did pretty well because people are going into the theater, disengaging their fucking thinking process and just laying back and pretending, you know, expecting to be entertained. And like I said, the average person in that theater is not that intelligent. They'll just go along with it.
And this did have some entertaining aspects to it. Like the look of it was cool.
Yeah.
There was some cool,
cool statues and shit in the caves, and it wasn't very engaging. You didn't really have to mentally engage with the movie. You could just look at it. And I had a good time.
Yeah, you could just,
just look at it.
The thing about it is, like, there was some characters, like I said, that were really underdeveloped. They didn't even need to be there. Like, his comic sidekick, I mean, they were giving Tom Cruise, like, some jokes. Like, he was supposed to be, like, wisecracking and shit like that. So why did you need, like, the funny guy? He didn't even need to be in there. They could have just written him out. The girlfriend... She needed to be, her character really needed to be more, like, written more about her because she didn't do anything. She didn't need to be in the movie either, like, other than being the impetus for Tom Cruise to be being slightly less of a dick, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of the only reason she was in there. And, you know, so she didn't really do anything other than that, which was a shame. But I don't know. It just seemed like there was just too much shit going on. There's too much shit going on. They needed to simplify.
They're talking about the new Star Trek in quotations. I laugh at that shit, too. The movies and I've heard about Discovery. I won't watch it. Evidently, they say Star Trek Discovery is like a really good source for like... If you have a fucking YouTube show about sci-fi, you know, or entertainment, that series right there is a real good source of riffs. You can just riff on that shit all day long. It's supposed to be just absolutely ridiculous. And they got whole YouTubers making a damn career off of making fun of the new Star Trek. It's not. Stop it, Pope. That's mail. That's mail. She did you see? She looked over her shoulder and went right back to it. No, I'm going to tear it up. That's mail. That's mail. No.
She doesn't care what Daddy says. Daddy can yell at her all day long, and she just stops for a minute and goes, "You done yelling? Okay."
Yeah. Well, she wants me to go over there and wrestle with her.
Well, yeah, she wants to get in trouble.
Punished, end quote. Quit.
She wants to get in trouble.
Okay, yeah, you're in trouble.
Well, but, you know, any attention is good attention. Yeah. That's what she figures. She's like a little...
She's just waiting for this shit to happen.
She's not all that bratty.
Yeah.
She's mostly a good girl. She just likes attention, that's all.
But evidently, the fucking new Star Trek... I saw the Star Trek movies, I think the first two of the new ones.
Those were all right.
They were just okay, but I'm like, this isn't really Star Trek. You know?
I mean, I liked them at the time. Like, I don't know if I'd watch them again, but I had fun with them.
No, there's a lot of difference between that and fucking real Star Trek. I mean, if you want to fucking, if you like Star Trek, you watch the original series, and then you watch fucking Star Trek Continues, which is just like the television series with the old.
I mean, it's kind of hard to beat the original series. Yes.
Yeah. Although, hey, you know,
I just love all that. I just love that 60s aesthetic, you know what I mean? So even
that makes more sense to me.
Yeah. Even the more recent ones, I was just kind of like, you know, they're fine, but I just always go back to the original series. I never get tired of like watching those.
Star Trek, the motion picture, Wrath of Khan, and that whole thing. I liked those too. Even though like, what was the Undiscovered Country was kind of sucky. And
I think we watched all of the movies a few months ago. I think we watched them all like over a few weeks.
I gotta fucking say, man, I go back to, you can say, well, Wrath of Khan's the best one. But Star Trek the Motion Picture was pretty good too.
Yeah, although I just still think Wrath of Khan is the best one.
The motion picture was good because half of that shit was going to be something called Star Trek Phase 2. I think it was called Phase 2, which was a television series. And, the guy who was supposed to be the captain that fucking Captain Kirk knocks out of the way, who ends up fucking leaving with V'ger and shit, he was going to be the captain in the new Star Trek series.
Yeah, okay.
Television series.
Yeah.
But they evidently canceled the television series and made the movie instead. And then later on, some of the stuff that they were going to use in the television series ended up on Next Generation.
Yeah, okay.
But, no, just watch fucking the original series and see Star Trek Continues. That's the final season to the original show with old Vic Mignogna as fucking Captain Kirk. He does a good job. Todd Haverkorn as fucking what's his name? Spock. He's a little bit different, but he does a good Spock. And the guy playing Scotty is Scotty's real son. The guy who DeForest Kelly's real son.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of the same people who worked on the original series did it. And it's in the old format, just like the original television series. All the way down to kind of the hokey fucking kung fu.
Well, yeah, they wanted it to be as close to the original series as possible. Yep. They wanted the same lighting, the same sets, the same costumes, the same tone, the same everything.
It's got one of the best mirror episodes out of the whole fucking... all the Star Trek. That was the one where... What did Mirror Spock do once fucking when he got his captain back? What happened to his rebellion? Did he do it? Because he did do it. So it was good. That's a good episode.
Yeah,
I think it was called. What was that called? Fairest of Them All.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to start fucking...
look at Pokey.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's distracting me. If you want to start with the offshoot one, then you see Ferris of them all first. It's on YouTube for free in HD. It's good.
Aww.
But that's probably about it on this, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Jenny didn't like it. I liked it, but I didn't expect anything. It was just dumb.
Well, I didn't expect... It wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Big, dumb, over-top action movie.
It had some... It had its moments. And like I said, I liked... the look of the mummy, I wish that they had done more of like a traditional mummy story and more like a scary horror movie. They could have some action shit in there too if they like absolutely had to. But like I said, they already made like a fun adventure mummy movie with Brendan Fraser back in 1999. It's like, we can just watch that. They don't need to do that again. You know what I'm saying?
That wasn't their money. They wanted to make their own money.
I guess so.
See,
but it's just, I don't
know.
You're
not looking at it from their perspective.
And I just feel like if you're going to do like I said, I'm not averse to the idea of doing a Dark Universe or doing like a Universal Monsters, you know, universe. I think that's kind of a cool idea. But if you're going to do it, you really need like a writer or just a group of writers that kind of map out the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think that they should have, they can have their own kind of, you know, feel to them because they're all different monsters. But I feel like you need to work all that shit out, work the tone out, work the fucking look out. So they're all kind of cohesive and they all kind of like hang together.
The problem is that all these properties are owned by studios that are very corrupt, money hungry, and it's always going to be made by a committee and it'll always be an inferior product.
I know.
The best thing to do is instead of trying to recapture these old classics and fucking bring them back to life and all that fucking theoretical crazy crap is to make brand new shit. That's good.
Well, that honestly,
that it's small, like one person can control with his team, just like MST did.
Yeah.
It'd be something like that. You're going to make these monster movies and you're going to make your own universe and you got your own fucking fan base.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the best horror movies that I've seen in the past few years have been standalone indie horror movies.
Well, it's getting to the point now where eventually you're going to have, like, you know, the dude who does Mandalorian. What's that guy's name? The guy who's trying to say
Jon Favreau.
He could, if he owned his own property, he could say, fuck Disney. I'm going to fucking build my own studio. And I'm going to make my own space adventure. And people would probably watch it. He says, I could do better than Star Wars. He probably could. And it had that same tone and everything.
Yeah.
Without it not being a knockoff.
I mean, like I said, I understand, you know, studios are just trying to make money. And they don't actually know what people want. So they're just kind of like throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
And so they try to stick with things that are safe.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's understandable why they do that.
It's not their money.
They don't want to take a chance on something that might not do well. They want something with name recognition.
Yeah,
so that's why
shareholders and all this shit involved.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is that I know a lot of people complain about, oh, sequel this and reboot that. But it's like, well, they're still making money. That's why they're still doing them. Yeah. So if you don't want them to make them, then don't go see them and they won't make them anymore.
If you look at Star Trek Continues for free on YouTube, you will see what I'm talking about. How a small group of people, if they can raise their own money and make a quality show, that's fucking, and it had very, there were no corporate fingers involved in that because it was nonprofit.
Yeah.
Well, if you owned your own property, you could do that again, all right, and have your own fucking, your own version of a space opera. And you could beat Star Trek and you could beat Star Wars. People keep trying to go back on this old shit. Fuck that shit. It's played out. It's owned by bad people. You got to make new shit. Making new shit is the key.
Yeah, just make a whole. I know it's harder. It's, you know, because you don't have, like I said, you don't have name recognition.
Yep.
But
the name recognition has to go to the writers and the directors. That, like, a team, like a studio has to have some kind of little small mom-pa studio type deal. You know what I mean? Like what you said, Jon Favreau, is that guy's name?
Yeah.
Favreau. Imagine if he said, fuck it, I'm going to make my own studio. I want to make this new space opera. Hit me up on Kickstarter. He'd get millions of dollars.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
Yeah. And he would have to deal with these assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, it's much easier nowadays to make your own shit. And and honestly, most 99% of the really great horror movies I've seen in the last several years have been indie. I mean, there's been a couple. Like I said, Invisible Man was great, but you know what I mean? Which is Universal. But mostly, they've been indie movies.
That last fucking what's it, dude? Mandy.
Yeah.
You know. That movie was great.
That dude's a crazy person that makes those movies. Yeah, like, in the best possible way.
And then what's that crazy motherfucker that started Mandy?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage, yeah. And then we saw that other Nicolas Cage movie that was an indie where he didn't say a goddamn word through the whole thing.
Willy's Wonderland.
And it was a great movie.
That was batshit insane.
That was something that had I seen that back in, on cable or something back in the 80s, that would have been one of my favorites. I said, that's some badass shit.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious.
See, I love weird. I would rather, if you were going to make a movie, I would rather you made a weird ass movie that failed.
Yeah.
Than try to make something to please everybody, because you're never going to.
Yeah.
And the more generic you make it, the more bland and boring it gets. Just go lean into the weirdness.
Yeah.
You might not succeed, but at least you made something interesting.
Yeah, another thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to do something with these old superhero fucking names, you know, to mimic Marvel. You need to make new superheroes. Like, you know, Brightburn. That's fucking pretty cool, man. That wasn't a superhero, it was a supervillain, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that did
well. I feel like we need more villain movies.
Yeah.
Villains are more interesting than heroes.
If I was going to make a Star Wars movie, it would be a Darth Vader movie.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. Yeah. I would totally watch that.
He would be
that.
The main character. Trying to get out from underneath control of the Emperor. Find a Sith holocrons, going into Sith tombs, learning about old Sith that were around him before, like Darth Revan and fucking these dudes from Knights of the Old Republic. That's the kind of shit where he goes to Korriban. If you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, see? That would make good. I'd watch that.
Yeah, and he can't really betray the Emperor because the Emperor is fucking keeping him alive through some kind of force power. He was resurrected by the Emperor and was kept alive, so he has to be loyal or the fucking Emperor will stop feeding him that force juice and he dies.
Force juice. We all need force juice.
Yeah, it's keeping him alive with that force testosterone. Yeah.
You just knew the show couldn't go by without him mentioning
that. Look, we gotta go. Well, I gotta go pick it up.
That's right. We gotta go by the man clinic, as I call it. Yeah, he laughs every time he sees it on my phone.
I laugh at that shit.
It says man clinic. Yeah. I'm like, what else am I supposed to call it?
Yeah.
But yeah, we gotta do that, and we gotta run to the post office too. And we gotta put gas in the car because I forgot we were coming back from downtown last night. I was like, oh yeah, my fucking car's on E. Probably I should put some gas in the car. But you know, I don't use it all that much. Pookie, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, Fourth Road Down says, so Nicolas Cage accidentally made the best horror movies of the last 10 years. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I love, like I said, I love that he'll be in anything because he needs the money.
Yeah.
And if he's going to be in something, like, he'll fucking commit and he'll just, like, act fucking crazy. And that's why you hire Nicolas Cage. It's like, just cage the fuck out. And he's just like, can do.
Yeah.
Here's your paycheck, Mr. Cage. You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't always work, but... you know, Color Out of Space, that was fucking great. Mandy was fucking great.
Yeah.
Willy's Wonderland was great. And I love that he didn't even talk in it. That just like cracked me up.
That made it even better.
It did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know some people didn't like that, but I was just kind of like, no, man, that was just like one joke that just sustained me through the whole fucking thing. It was just funny as hell, I thought.
Pat says, I'd love to see the other characters out of the Brightburn universe. Yeah, we were just talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Evil Spider-Man. Imagine that. Evil Punisher.
Or more evil Punisher, I guess.
Yeah. But actually, I guess you could say that was DC, so you'd be like evil Batman.
Yeah.
Batman and Punisher are real similar in a sense.
They are kind of, they're both kind of vigilantes.
Yeah.
I think I heard my phone go off. Maybe that was maybe that might have been the doctor's
office.
Might
be them calling me. All right.
All right. So thanks you guys for dropping by as always. Man, we were on for like almost an hour. So, he did make a great horror movie. Yeah, Color Out of Space was awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
It was mixed. Some people didn't like it, but I liked it.
I liked it too.
It was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, if you're going to make a movie like that, just make it weird.
And put fucking Nick Cage in that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, because you know he's going to fucking give it his all.
It's the market.
The dude's got fucking taxes to pay.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So, we will be back tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Eastern for our Wednesday drunken party stream.
Yeah.
We know you guys love those. We love those. We have a good time tomorrow, talking to you guys. Yeah, that's tomorrow night.
Shit. Shit, man. My fucking kidneys. Okay.
Your what?
Kidneys.
Your my kidneys? Liver. I was like, your kidneys? What about your kidneys?
My liver.
Okay, let's go. Oh, my God. My liver. All right. So we'll see you guys tomorrow evening. Have a good rest of your day. Bye.